Hey, welcome to Gray Area. My name is Lauren Jerry, and today I'm happy to be in conversation with Miami-based duo Kaluza. Andrew and Gino Gomez are producers, DJs, label heads, and brothers. This powerhouse is at the forefront of the dance music scene with their unique sound that blends tech house with captivating Afro and Latin elements. Their label, Hurry Up Slowly, has gained a dedicated global following, with their tracks consistently dominating global Beatport charts. As they continue their summer tour, Kalusa's distinctive sound and international acclaim cements their status as rising stars in the electronic music scene. So let's get right into it. Can you take us to the early days? What brought you both to dance music, like individually?
So actually, it came from Gino's side. He bought some turntables when he was maybe like 16, 17, and he started really blasting. I think it was the first time I ever heard like dance music, and he started learning how to DJ, and it just kind of rubbed off on me. I was more on the guitar, and collectively we came together, and he was practicing every single day. And I think when he was like 17, 18, he played a club in Miami called Mokai, and from there we collectively just started doing it together, and we never looked back.
Well, yeah, from like just traveling at a young age too, I think like I was exposed to a lot of electronic music in Europe, like going to places in Greece and and Ibiza at a young age, and kind of just being exposed to electronic music, and seeing some DJs play at an early age kind of just inspired me to get into that realm, and that's kind of how we started. Soon after, got a small little DJ controller and kind of went from there.
And have you always wanted to work together? How did that come together? How did that happen?
Yeah, I feel like it was a very like good synergy from the start. Like, I come from a musician background, I play a lot of instruments, and we've always collectively come together and just shared, the tracks that we liked at the time, maybe talking about like 2008, 2009. So it was always
Well,
a good synergy.
it was always interesting because in Miami, the legal age to like enter a club is like 21, and
Yeah.
I started DJing at like 18. So at that time, he was like 15 right now,
Something like
15 years old. So he was like
that.
almost way too young to even be in the club. But those first, after like a year or two, he started getting very into it, and then naturally we just started doing it together, and we both were in the same kind of musical realm or lane, and it just really gelled. We have a lot of synergy, and we contrasted a lot.
I was always more focused when I was at that age, like 15, 16. I was more focused on music production and learning the Logic program and just kind of like learning all that stuff while he was, DJing all the nightclubs, because obviously I was too young. So obviously when I got to an age where they would allow me to get into the nightclub, that's when, the whole collaboration started.
Oh, that's dope. So your music has heavy Afro and Latin elements. What influences your sound?
Well, I think just being in Miami really, and kind of our heritage or our background, like our dad is Cuban, and he was a drummer growing up, and he we were always raised around like a lot of Latin music between our dad and our mom, and then being in Miami as well. So it's like we've always had that like that love for like percussion and music that really makes you like actually dance, and kind of reflected in the music that we started producing, and little by little we just saw it was really working and catching on, and that it really just like worked on the dance floor and really made the whole dance floor move.
And it's also cool because Miami is like a melting pot of so many different cultures. So not only like Latin music, but almost like all genres and Middle Eastern sounds and Brazilian sounds, and like it's all derived like from the same place, like it's all like Afro and drums and stuff like that. So it's really cool like to be from Miami. You can apply all different formulas and recipes into your music.
Oh, that's cool. And I like it does get people moving. I've seen a lot of your mixes online. It's really cool. What is the dynamic between you guys like in the studio?
It's pretty organic, honestly. Like, when we sit down, we we come together, we talk about the music that we're listening to and, you know, tracks that like are inspiring us. And we just kind of start with a clean slate and figure out, you know, what we want to make in that particular day. And, you know, obviously a lot of experimenting because, you know, a lot of the music you end up making, you know, doesn't see the light of day. But, you know, what's beautiful about, you know, our position is, you know, we're lucky to be touring. And what's great is when we start an idea that we collectively, like, we start testing it on the road, different mixes and mastering, and we kind of like mix it like on the road, you know, at each different nightclub that we play, we do little fixes and changes dynamically and sonically to the tracks. So I feel like together we come collectively and we start to finish all the tracks when we're done touring.
Yeah, and like, you know, he was a guitar player kind of like from a young age when he was like, I think like 10 years old, he got his first guitar. So, you know, he also like plays keyboard. So he'll like kind of get an idea going in terms of, you know, like melody or, you know, kind of a concept. And then I'm very like technical and, you know, good with like percussion and using loops and kind of, you know, creating, you know, different patterns and arrangements. So, you know, we kind of both have our, you know, specialty, but we really like help each other through the whole process, really.
It's the best of both worlds, it seems. That's really cool.
Yeah.
So how do you usually start a track and how do you know when it's finished?
So, I mean, typically it's, you know, like it'll come off of just a basic idea. It could be a sample or a melody. And usually, you know, to know when it's finished, it's, you know, it's really tough because there's like producer syndrome and,
I'm not sure if you ever know.
Yeah, you're like, you're never really happy. I don't think anybody's really happy. I think it's more about, you know, you're like the most okay with it. And really from just testing it out and like, you know, being able to have that, you know, ability to be able to, you know, test tracks out in shows and develop them and see what's missing and what's needed. And then after a certain point, you know, you feel really happy with the response and how it sounds through, you know, other club speakers or other systems. And then you kind of make the call that it's time to move on. But I think that this is like something that a lot of producers, you know, struggle with and kind of never being satisfied with your mix. But I think, you know, it takes another level of discipline to finally be like, okay, like, you know, I'm done with this track. Like, let me get started on the next. But yeah, so I would say, you know, the best way to know is just really from, you know, playing it out live and hearing how it sounds and seeing the response.
Yeah, it's a good strategy. You dropped a nostalgic new track, Fell in Love, with Carlita via Diplo's Higher Ground imprint. Can you tell us how it all came to be?
Yeah, sure, absolutely. So the song was a year in the making. We had an idea for a while, and we kind of were just kind of like sitting on the track. But when we were in Dubai, we met up with Carlita and we were just catching up and stuff. And I guess the track just came in conversation. She asked us what we were working on. We showed her the concept and she was in love with the concept. She's the 90s girl like us. You know, she loves the 90s and those nostalgic tracks that came from that era. So, you know, collectively we came together and, you know, Diplo was a fan of the track. So he was cool enough to put it on Higher Ground, and the response has been amazing. Do you want to add anything?
No, yeah, I mean, it was a pretty organic, you know, idea of a track and how it all, you know, kind of came together. But really, like, we've always loved that, like, you know, 90s classic vibe, and you know, we wanted to bring a feeling of that. And you know thank God, you know, Carla has a very similar vibe and ear to us, and you know, she was able to, you know, get on Higher Ground, and you know, they have an amazing team, and
absolutely,
you know, we're really grateful that, you know, we were able to work with such a great team on, you know, getting this out with them.
Yeah, it's a really good track. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Could you tell us a little bit about how your label Hurry Up Slowly came to be?
So, I mean, we've been doing events in Miami now for almost, you know, 4 to 5 years. And really, like, the brand started with, you know, the event series and event concept. And then, you know, more and more, like, we felt like there should be, you know, a sound to what our events were and a sound that really speaks, you know, to us. And, you know, a couple years into the events, our close friend Malone joined, you know, some of our events and playing with us. And then, you know, we started this label concept a few years ago, but it kind of just started with, you know, hearing tracks and demos that would get sent to us. And, you know, it kind of just made sense to start our own sound, our own label, especially we were pushing something that was like very kind of unique to Miami at that time. And it kind of just started for fun and as a hobby and just signing tracks that we liked. And now it's grown into what it is today. And we would have never imagined that, you know, it would get to this point. And working with some of the artists on the label and some really like talented producers, really.
The releases on it are so amazing. You have a really good year. It's really cool. What has been your biggest lesson working as a duo?
Biggest lesson. I mean, compromise for sure. Like learning how to compromise.
Well, kind of like what you said like earlier about, you know, figuring out when the track can be done. Like you said, it does take a lot of discipline, and I got to credit him for that discipline, because for me, like, a track can go on forever trying to finish it or mix it more and more and more. And that's where, like, you know, you compromise is so important. And, you know, you just, like, since we're a duo, it's like you kind of, like, lift each other up. And when you think the track is done, okay, then it's done then.
But, yeah, I mean, just being, you know, two people and anything, you know, you have to, like, compromise and come to agreements. Sometimes you have different opinions, but... you know, at the end of the day, you know, it's working as a team and a unit, and, you know, really being able to see each other's, you know, points of view and opinions and kind of coming to like a middle ground sometimes.
Sure.
I must hope that you have a synergy and also the sibling relationship. So I'm sure it works great.
Yeah, we can get in arguments and then be good the next day because we're brothers. Yeah.
So we're getting close to the end, and then we'll hop into the quick fire round. But first, I'd like to know, what would you like your legacy to represent in the years to come?
So, I mean, definitely leaving something that, you know, stands outside of just, you know, music itself, and really just inspiring others to, like, you know, kind of do whatever it is that their passion is and do it for a living and kind of really, like, tried to, you know, conquer what seems impossible. You know, I'm a cancer survivor, and, you know, some of the things that we're doing now, you know, pre my whole, you know, journey, you can call it, or battle, I would have never thought was even in the realm of possibility. So just kind of inspiring others that are going through, you know, the same struggles or post, and, you know, they already beat the fight and, you know, want to conquer some, you know, some of their dreams and goals, but really just inspiring others, whether it's, you know, people that went through my struggle or just people that are like looking to, you know, live their dreams and goals and it, whatever it is, and really just inspire people, like, just even outside of the musical realm.
Yeah, it's really inspiring as a whole. Cool. Let's get into the quick fire questions. What are three things that you must have while you're in tour?
Laptop, headphones, and earplugs.
And a bed.
And a lot of USBs.
Those are really essentials. What is currently your go-to track to get the party started?
This new record that we just put out on our label, it's a collaboration with Felipe Cortez. It's called Never Too Late. We've been starting our sets with this track the last 2-3 months, and it just always kind of gives us an idea of where to go. So that's
it. Awesome. And I like that it's off your label. Like I said, you have a good year. What is your most essential studio equipment?
Probably a laptop, our sound card, and the plugins that we use to make music and stuff. Mini keyboards.
Okay. And what is your favorite BPM?
I would say, like, right now, like 125, 126.
Yeah.
Sweet spot. What track by any other artist do you wish you had produced?
For me, probably Dennis Ferrer, Sandcastles. Classic. Never get sick of it.
One for me is, like, Benediction by Hot Nature. like one of the earlier, you know, kind of deep house tracks that really like stood out to me, and it's just, it's timeless. Like, you know, it still sounds good today. And yeah, I think that's a goal as a producer, is to really like make music that doesn't just sound good now, but, you know, sounds good for 10, 20 years to come, you know?
Yeah, that's awesome. Okay, guys, that's all I have for you today. It's been lovely. Thank you for making the time to be here.
Perfect. Thank you so much for having us, Lauren.
You as well. It's been lovely.